This shiur is dedicated to the memory of Diane Ram's mother, Betty Glickman, whose name was Liba Bas Avram and Esther. Her first yahrzeit is later this week on Thursday, the fourth day of Av. So we are learning Le'ilui Nishmat Liba Bas Avram. In the opening of Rav Kook's great work on Shemitah called Shabbat HaAretz, he begins with the following statement of the Zohar: Mi ka'amcha Yisrael, who is your, like your people Israel, goy echad, one nation, ba'aretz, in the land. And he quotes the Zohar, who says, ba'aretz inun chad. In Eretz Yisrael, the Jewish people will ultimately be truly one unit, a unified Jewish people. I just want to say, Mi ka'amcha Yisrael, take a look at the number of people that come to a shiur about Shemitah. Do you understand that the angels in heaven are jumping for joy and they're saying, the Ben Yishon, did you take a look at the Israel Center this morning? Do you see what's going on over there? At Sinai you gave a halacha about Shemitah, and they care. They're interested, they're involved. It's really very, very beautiful. Okay, now we have a job to do. On the sheets that each two of you have in front of you, I begin with the very first two psukim. The very first two psukim in Parashat Behar Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Behar Sinai Limor, and God spoke to Moshe at Mount Sinai, saying, Dabel b'nei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel who are matah aleihem, and you shall tell them, Ki tavoh el haaretz asher ani noten lachem, when you will come to the land that I give to you, v'shaveta haaretz Shabbat Lashem. The land shall observe a Sabbath rest for Hashem. The famous Rashi, we have the Rashi light right there. All of Torah was said at Sinai. Why here does the Pasuk say, first Pasuk, Vayedaber Hashem, God spoke to Moshe at Mount Sinai? All of Torah was given at Sinai, but you can go through all of Torah and all it says by the introduction to each parasha, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor. God spoke to Moshe so saying. Only here, the parasha of Shemitah, it says, Vayedaber Hashem, God spoke to Moshe Behar Sinai. Look at the Rashi. And of course, here comes a famous expression. It becomes, because of this Rashi, a famous expression in Hebrew. My inyan Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai. What does Shemitah have uniquely to do with Sinai than any other mitzvah doesn't? What is the matter of Shemitah doing next to Mount Sinai? In other words, why does the Torah say on Mount Sinai specifically in the context of the laws of Shemitah as opposed to other laws? And the other parasha in Torah could have begun with Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Behar Sinai Lemar. V'alo kol mitzvot nemru b'Sinai. Were not all of the commandments stated at Sinai? Ella, Rashi answers, that it is written here to teach, Ma shmita nemru klaloteha upratoteha v'digdukeha m'Sinai. Just as with regard to Shemitah, its general rules and its details and its fine points were stated at Sinai, afkulon, so from here, from Shemitah, we learn, just as the Torah here is going to outline quite clearly the laws of Shemitah, so you should know that that's the model. Just as the laws of Shemitah were told to us in detail at Sinai, so you should know that all other laws that were given at Sinai were in fact given with all of their details. Not everything was written in Torah, but it became part of Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral law that was transmitted to Moshe, Moshe to Yoshua, Yoshua to the Canaan. We have a 3,500 years of an oral law that comes hand in hand together with the written law. Torah Shebaal Peh, and Torah Shebichtav, both of them were given together at Sinai. Af kulam, Rashi goes on to say, so too all of them, nemru klaloteyen v'dikdukeyen v'sinai, all other mitzvahs, general rules and their fine points were stated at Sinai, kach shnuya b'toras kohanim. That's what it says in Toras Kohanim, which is the halachic medrash on Sefer Vayikra. V'nira li, Rashi says, it seems to me, shekach perushah, that this is its explanation, l'fi shalom matzinu shmitas karkois shenishneis ba'arvos moav. Rashi says the meaning of this statement of our rabbis is shmitas karkos, the fact that land is returned in shmita year, and even not to work the land, does not appear in Sefer Dvarim. Now everything should have been repeated in Sefer Dvarim, which is Moshe Rabbeinu's review of all of Torah. But the halacha of shmita of land does not appear in Sefer Dvarim Shenishneis Ba'arvot Moav, which was repeated at the end of the 40 years on the plains of Moab, in Mishnah Torah, which is Dvarim. Lamadnu. So since nothing is said there about it, obviously where was it said? It was all said when it was originally given at Sinai. Lamadnu, so therefore we learn Sheklalotehu Uprateha Kula Nemru B'Sinai. General rules and details are all stated at Sinai. Uba Katuv L'Meiv Kan. The pasuk here is coming to tell us that every statement that was made by Moshe was the written statement in Torah plus plus all of that Torah Shebal Peh. Rav Shamsun Fol Hirsch at the beginning of Parashat Shkodim says, if you want an example what Torah is like the notes that are taken by a student at a lecture or a shiur. Now, you take notes, everybody takes notes, you know. I remember the way we said, oh, can I borrow your notes? Can I borrow your notes? No, you will never understand my notes. Everybody has something very unique about their own notes. You make exclamation marks, you underline, you use words that were used by the professor that could only be understood by somebody who was present at the lecture. So he says, that's Torah. Torah, to those who were taught Torah by Moshe, everything was clear. The written word, the written word recalled all that was said at Sinai. The example that's used to establish this principle is the halacha of Shemitah. That just as at Shemitah, it is not repeated later. Everything is said here. And it says in Torah Vayadaber Hashem El Moshe Bahar Sinai, everything else, Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebichtav come from Sinai. There's a very beautiful idea that is expressed by Rav Shlomo Yosef Zevin, Zecher Tzadik L'Berachah, the first editor of the Encyclopedia Talmud, a great, great Talmud Chacham. He asks a very simple question. Rashi asks the question, but he didn't really answer it. Rashi asks, what does Shemitah have to do with Har Sinai? What does Shemitah have to do with Har Sinai? So he says, to tell me that just like Shemitah, its laws and all of its details were said at Sinai, so too all the rest of Torah. So he asks, well, Torah could have done that with any other mitzvah. Take another mitzvah. Vayadaber Hashem el Moshe v'har Sinai lema, put on tefillin. And the tefillin should have this, and the tefillin should have that, and they should look like this, and they should look like that. You could have taken any mitzvah in Torah, and also teach us the same principle that just as the general rules and the details were said at Sinai, so to all of the rest. Why Shemitah? Rashi didn't answer that. So he says, of course Rashi answered it. What it means, therefore, is that there's something about Shemitah that is so all-embracing and so all-encompassing. It seems to be a microcosm of all of Torah. And he says the following, of Shlosha Dvarim HaOlam Omeid, the famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, Torah stands on three pillars. The world stands on three pillars. Torah, Avodah, and Gemilat Chasadim, the study of Torah, the fulfillment of the mitzvahs of Torah. Avodah, well, it can have a number of meanings. service in the Beit HaMikdash. It also means tefillah, our prayer. But he says you should know that it also means avoda, you know, work. That word, work. Man works. Torah avoda, gemilus chasodim, and kindness to other peoples. He says Torah stands on the following three pillars: the relationship between man and God, the relationship between man and himself, and the relationship between man and fellow man. Torah is a relationship between man and God. Avoda, what I do, what I am, that develops the relationship between me and myself. I have to be a productive citizen who's doing important things. Gemilus Chasodim, of course, represents the relationship between man and fellow man, Jew and fellow Jew. All three of these pillars exist in the midst of Shemitah. Shemitah first and foremost comes to tell us somebody owns this land. The earth is the Lord's. It belongs to Him. And every 7 years He tells us, Chavra, this is my year. I'm establishing my ownership. All of the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Shemitah is the idea hammered into our head, something many of us still have to learn. La Hashem ha'oretz u'meloa, the land and all that's in it belongs to Him. Ki li kol ha'oretz, it's all mine. So there, in Shemitah, we have the relationship between the Jew and his God. The halacha in Shemitah is, and all part of the totality of Shemitah is, Sheishonim, 6 years you work, and in Shemitah you rest. Shemitah, your relationship with your God and your relationship with yourself, you're going to find yourself during the course of the Shemitah year. All that work, and now is the time for study. So it also represents the idea of man coming closer to himself. And then, of course, the halacha of Shemitah, the basic and fundamental halacha of Shemitah, anything that grows belongs to everybody. There's nothing that belongs to me. It belongs to everybody. The poor should eat anybody who wants. And the truth is, it means not only the poor but rich. The idea that everything that I have belongs to everybody else is certainly the greatest step in the direction of Gemilus Chasadim. So that therefore Shemitah expresses these three great pillars that make up the world: Torah, Avoda, and Gemilus Chasadim. Right? Now we've done that. Now we have to get to the heart of the Shia. Yeah, I would say, if I would, I will probably have to give at the end of the Shia, I have to give a title to the Shia. What I hope to do is rules of thumb for green thumbs in Shemitah. Rules of thumb. And, well, let's go, and if, just don't get nervous. If we don't get it all done today, we're still going to have a month before Shemitah comes when we get back to learning again on Rosh Chodesh Elul. Okay. I'm going to choose a number of laws, a number of halachas in the Rambam in order to create the background on which everything is built. The Rambam at the very beginning of Hilchos Shemitah, Mitzvat Aseh, it is a positive commandment, Lishbot, to rest, May Avodat Haaretz VaAvodat HaIlam, working the land and working the trees. These are two separate and distinct areas of halacha. There's that which has to do with the working of the land, and that which has to do with the work of trees. You have to rest from it. Bashana Shvius in the seventh year, as it says, "V'shavata ha'aretz Shabbos Lashem." The earth is going to rest a Shabbos to God. V'nema, and it also says, "Bechodesh u'bechotzer tishbos," that you should rest from plowing and from harvesting.
The chol ha'osem melacha mi'avodas ha'aretz, and anybody who does work from either the work of the land, o ha'ilanot, on the trees, b'shonazu, in this year, b'tel mitzvah asei, has negated the positive commandment of v'shaveta, the earth is supposed to rest, and also he has transgressed the negative command. Shemamet says sodach alo tizra, right after the psukim that we have up here, it says in Torah, sodach alo tizra, you shall not plant your field, the karmach alo tizmar, and you shall not prune your vineyard. Ein elokim in our Torah, a real avera in our Torah for which there is malchus, only on zriya, planting, zmira, pruning, Kitsira, if it is harvesting the field or the grain, O al habitsira. Bitsira is the technical term for harvesting the fruit of the vine. But the Rambam goes on to say it applies not only to the vine, the echot hakerem, the echot shavit lonot, not only a vineyard, but also all other trees. So these are the famous four mitzvahs of Shemitah. No planting. Now, interesting, planting, by the way, is talking about planting the seed. There will be a different halacha if you take like you have something that's growing already in a sapling. That's the word I was looking for. May not be prohibited in the Torah, but believe me, there are enough other prohibitions to go around for everything else. So, planting, pruning. Now remember, pruning over here is not harvesting. Pruning the vineyard is something that is necessary for its growth, for its development. Pruning, the vineyards have to be pruned. And the pruning is a form of growth, to make it grow. Ketzira is harvesting of the fields, and Ketzira, as we say, is harvesting the fruits of the trees. Halacha Gimel. Uzmira b'chlal ziriya, ubetzira b'chlal ketzira. The fact is, why did the Torah have to say all four of them when Zemira, pruning the vineyard, is really under the category of Zriya? If pruning is in order to improve, then it has the same idea behind it as Zriya, planting. And Betzira, Bechlau Ketzira. Now, harvesting fruit is the same thing as Ketzira, harvesting grain. Why did the Torah have to express each one of them individually? If the Torah would have said Zeriya and Ketzira, planting and harvesting, we would have known everything. To which the Rambam says, V'loma partan ha-katuv, why did the Torah write them clearly? Loma lacha, to tell you, al shtei toladot elu buvad hu-chayim. The father is planting, and the subheading is pruning. The av, the main category, is ketzira, harvesting, but its subcategory is harvesting the fruit of the vine or the trees. Why did the Torah tell us this? To tell us these two, bilvad, only for Zemira in addition to Zeriya, and Betzira in addition to Ketzira, one is Chayiv and has done an Avera, transgressed a Torah prohibition. V'ashara Tovah Shebavodas Haaretz, and all other forms of work of the land, Im Shar HaAvos, Shalom Nispar Shubinyan Zeh, Noloka Alein Avomakanos Omakos Marvus. The importance of this statement is the following. There are a lot of other things that are done in the field. There's all sorts of hoeing and watering and the chveis, you know.
And fertilizing.
and fertilizer. But there's so many other areas of work in the field. All of those others are also prohibited only midrabanan. Now remember, everything that we're talking about over here is about shmita when it is min haTorah, when it is biblical. Since it has already been established by Rabbi Adler in the shiur before, that our approach to shmita bizman hazeh, shmita in our time, our approach is, and this is really the overwhelming weight of opinion in an awesome manner, that there is no Shemitah today min haTorah. All Shemitah is midrabanan, and on the basis of that, it means that whatever may have been prohibited midrabanan may very well be today permitted under certain circumstances, because we're dealing with a completely different situation than existed at the time of the first Beit HaMikdash, and possibly, according to some, during the period of the second Beit HaMikdash. One more. We'll see the next. Everything is going to emerge. Ketzad. Halacha 4. Hachofer. Somebody who digs in the field. Oh, hachodesh. Or somebody plows. Litzora hakarka. For the purpose of the land. Because you see, later on, the Rambam is going to tell us, Allah, what happens if I have to. We want to put down a pipeline. I want to do some plumbing work, then I have to dig up part of my backyard. Or tearing up another street in Yerushalayim for the 100th time. Right? So there it's going to be all sorts of digging and all sorts of big earth moving things, and they're digging the land. The only time that digging into the land is prohibited is if its purpose is in order that one should be able to use the land for planting afterwards. If all of the digging is done for anything else, if in your backyard garden, I don't know, you want to put out a patio, do any other kind of work, then that digging is permitted. But I would suggest anyway, don't really do anything in your backyard until you call your local Orthodox rabbi. But basically, all sorts of digging and plowing in the land would be prohibited if the purpose is in order to prepare the land for planting. Oh, hamizabel means removing stones from the earth. Or mizabel, one who fertilizes. The chayotzeben and similar misharavodat haaretz, all sorts of other work of the land. The chen hamavrich or hamarkiv or hanoteya, mavrich means they would bend over a vine and dig it into the ground, and what would come out is a new vine would come out. Markiv is grafting. You take a branch from one tree and you insert it into another tree. Or noteya, saplings. Remember, I told you zriya. When the Rambam said that zriya is prohibited min haTorah, that's seeds. Noteya is planting saplings. The chayotzben and all other me'avodat ha'ilanot, things that you do for the trees, makin oto makat maradut b'divrayim, one receives rabbinic flagellations because he has been over on a rabbinic law. And then there are all sorts of other things, removing dead leaves, removing dead branches. There are a whole host of things that are prohibited midrabanan. Some will be permitted, others not. Now, yes.
Zriya is seeds, and Nutia is sapling. What is Zmira?
Zmira is pruning.
What is Bitsira?
Bitsira is harvesting. Except that you have to understand in Hebrew, there is a different word. It's a very rich language. The harvesting of different products of the field have different words to describe them. For example, harvesting the olives is moskim. Okay?
Which is drabanan.
Yes? No?
No.
The Rambam said all harvesting of fruit, not only the vine, all other trees as well, all minat Torah. Now, Ein notin vashviyit afilu ilan srak. The prohibition of planting in Shemitah even a non-fruit-bearing tree. Even a non-fruit-bearing tree. Velo yachkoch, and you shouldn't cut off hayabolet min ha-yibolet, yabolet min ha-ilanot, certain growths on the trees. Velo yifadei kolin, remove leaves and babin and pieces of wood that are dry. Velo ya'avei get samarto. He's going to list here all sorts of a variety of additional things that are done for trees. We don't have to learn them. There are all sorts of things. Tying the trees so that they should grow straight, protecting them from the cold weather. There are so many different things that farmers do for their product. You're not allowed to do that. Okay. Now, it's very important, of course, that we know that even a non-fruit-bearing tree can't be planted in Shemitah. That means when it comes to planting, there's nothing to talk about. Forget it. The only time where you can think about it, of course, is what happens if you have a flower pot. We're going to get to that, but here's the rule of thumb. A flower pot outside of the house has the exact same halacha as the ground itself. Absolutely. Anything that is prohibited in the field is prohibited in an outdoor flower pot. If you have a desperate need to plant something in Shemitah, you can do it in a flower pot indoors. Because the Talmud on the window is outside. The windowsill is outside. The outside windowsill is outside. Inside, it's inside. So in an inside flower pot, you can just go all, you know, sort of just about do anything that might be an Aveira any place else you can do in a flower pot that's in the house. Yeah?
Can you move it outside?
No. Oh, no, I can't move it outside. For example, the halacha is, what happens if you decide to move from one apartment to the next? So there are two sheetahs what to do.
Yeah.
Number one, don't throw out your flower pots. Rav Shlomo Zalman says that you can, if you're taking the pot from one house to another, even though there will be a period of time that it's going to be outdoors, it's okay. Rav Eliashiv and others say that you should have it wrapped in plastic. And by the way, once we're talking about this, there's a difference between flower pots on the second story in a house, the third or the fourth, or one that is on ground level. On ground level, there are certain circumstances under which a flower pot would have a halacha like the ground, because in a sense it draws nourishment from the ground, so the accepted solution is simply put a plate under it. By the way, we put plates under our flower pots in the house anyway, because when you're going to water them, we don't want that around. Okay. In Halacha 9, the Rambam talks about a very important halacha. You're allowed to water. You're allowed to water your plants. You're allowed to water. And not only that, if you have an orchard, you can make little furrows leading from one tree to the next so that water could flow from one tree to the next. And he lists even the idea that you can make a canal for water to come into the field in Shemitah. And here we come to Halacha Yud. Why is all this permitted? And here you're going to get a hashkafa of Shemitah. that will really inform us as the direction in which to go. Shim lo yashke, because if you're not going to water, te'oseh ha'aretz melecha, the earth is going to become salted. You're going to ruin the earth. The halach of shmita is not to let the land lie fallow to the extent that you won't be able to, or you'll have a great deal of difficulty planting after shmita. You may maintain the land. You have to maintain the land. Shmita is not a year in which the land has to look like desolation. There is an erech, there's a value, a Torah value to a beautiful Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael Yafa. This is the Rabbeinu Shlomo's living room. And you have to keep Eretz Yisrael beautiful. There is nothing that was ever also with regard to maintaining the ongoing beauty and fragrance of Eretz Yisrael. Umitnei mahi tidu kolela, the Rambam says, why will all this permit it? Shem lo yashke, because if you're not going to water, te'oseh ha'aretz melecha, it's going to come salty, v'yomus kol eitz sheva, and all trees will die. You're going to bring death to the country. Behold, yisur ha'dvorim ha'ele, and since all of these prohibitions are only rabbinic, lo gozru aleinu, our rabbis not decree against any of these, all of the things that are permitted are that which has as its purpose to maintain, to preserve the land. This is the main rule of thumb with regard to your private garden. The most important rule of thumb is the following, that anything that's done in order to maintain, to protect, or to make sure that there will not be serious damage, and you don't have to wait for serious damage to find out that it's seriously damaged, you are permitted to do in Shemitah. But anything that is to increase the strength or the growth or the produce is prohibited. And in the Gemara, the two terms are, you might as well know the terms, there is le'ukmi ilona. Le'ukmi ilona means to keep everything maintained properly, and there is la'avruye. Avruye means to make it even more healthy and more produce. That is prohibited in Shemitah. Yes?
What happens with weeds?
With what?
Weeds.
Oh, that's all part of it. Of course, very good question. She asked, what about weeds? All right, here I'm going to give you a number of additional rules of thumb. And I think this was said in one sentence by Rabbi Adler in this year before. The fact is that for the private garden, this I'm adding, I think that I'm so thrilled that I have a garden. I'm so thrilled that I have a garden. And I have more than 3 centimeters by 3 centimeters someplace up there. And I didn't call 1-800-SHMITA. But first, having a garden and with flower pots in the house, one will retain during the period of this whole year a sense of Shemitah. Sense of Shemitah. Otherwise, everybody's going to be doing all the work for us. We'll just have to know what store to buy in. And so we'll just go in and buy there. I don't think you should just go and buy any place. You know exactly where things come from. But if you have a garden, then there's a Shemitah awareness that you can't have any place in the world. A Shemitah awareness. So now, we were asked about weeds. So the first thing right before the shiur, I wrote down a klal, a rule that was running through my head for the last few days. You don't have this. I'm reading on my, this is my personal copy where I put my notes. The Gemara says, anybody who prepares on Erev Shabbos will have what to eat on Shabbos. If you didn't make a chon on Erev Shabbos, guaranteed you will not have a chon to eat on Shabbos. That's a very significant rule of thumb for the private gardener. Nearly all of the major work that is necessary to maintain a beautiful garden all year can be done in advance. Yeah, if you have a garden, get in touch with your gardener right after the shiur, when you are permitted to turn your cell phones on, then you can call the gardener. Because the fact is, all pruning that has to be done can be done in advance of Shemitah. That's why the shiur is being given now, so you will have time to prepare. Any fertilizing that is necessary can be done in advance, and with the new kind of fertilizers that it's like, what is it? Like what? Timeless, like Compact. You remember Compact for colds? It keeps releasing these little things in your body for 24 hours. Alright. So there are time release fertilizers. You can do all the fertilizing now before Rosh Hashanah. All the fertilizing and all of the pruning, whatever else, has to be done. But you need a gardener that knows his business. Yes?
For the next 7 years from now, I think that the lecture would be a little sooner because you don't really cut fruiting trees now. It's not good for the tree. It's in fruit.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Just for a moment. I'm sorry. No. I'm going to say the shiur that I gave 7 years ago was preparation for this week. This one is for next week. One moment. I got to get a few things. Talking about just weeds. So number one, there are two ways to deal with weeds. One is chemically. And by the way, always preferable in Shemitah year to do it chemically. There are certain chemicals that you put by the weeds in the kiln. If you can't do that, and there is a possibility that it may really cause some damage to your garden, then you can cut it off at the top without uprooting it. If it's really necessary, then you can even take it out by its roots. But it all has to begin with, in that order. First, try to do it in a way that you don't have to deal with the earth at all. Everybody's getting going. Yeah.
I want to use fronds from a palm tree on my sukkah.
Yeah.
I don't want to cut them off now before.
A good question. I'll
use it for the sukkah.
The Rambam says clearly, if you're going to cut branches off for schach, for a sukkah, mutter. Mother, because the only time of cutting branches is prohibited is the purpose is in order that it should improve growth. By the way, if it will improve growth anyway, but it's clear to everybody that you're cutting it for schar, you're permitted to cut it for schar. So yes, huh?
It says here that you clip the trees and bushes and hedges to maintain the sign, whatever. Does that mean that if you have a bunch of flowers in a pot and they die, the flower itself dies, you pull that dead flower off?
You can pull the dead flower off. You're running ahead. You're cheating. You're reading ahead, right? That's okay. That's your sin. All right? I'm not going to get. Let me go for another few minutes, and I'll give you time at the end of the shiur to ask questions. Otherwise, I know it's beautiful. You all want to know, so give me another few minutes here. All right. Now, Halacha Yud Aleph. I mean, there are 13 chapters in the Rambam. I chose what will be most necessary for us now. Av bizman hazeh, halacha yud aleph. Av bizman hazeh, even nowadays, ein notin ilanos, you don't plant trees, ve'ein markivin, and you're not permitted to graft, ve'ein nabrichin, and you don't bend branches of trees into the ground, erev shvius, Elekadesha tiklot hanitiya v'tisheh achar achlita shloshim yom kodem Rosh Hashanah shosvius. I'll explain exactly what it means. This, if you want to plant a fruit bearing tree in your backyard, you must do it by two ba'av. Why? Because the halacha is the following. The halacha is, number one, it takes 2 weeks, for a tree to take root in the ground. And if it's a fruit-bearing tree, we don't want that the first year that's counted toward the 3 years of Orlo, there are 3 years in which you're not permitted to eat the fruit of the tree. There's a fourth year that is called Netaravai that has the same halacha as Maisa Sheni, it's Kodesh. We don't want that Shemitah should be counted as year one, because that would leave the impression at some point in time that this tree may have been planted in Shemitah. But if it has already been rooted in the ground by Rosh Chodesh Elul 1 month before Shemitah, the halacha is 1 month at the beginning of the 3 years of Orlo or Revai, 1 month equals a year. Which means if you plant by Hamishasa Ba'ah, a nice fruit-bearing tree in your backyard, 2 weeks will go by and it will have taken root. And then there's going to be a complete month until the beginning of Shemitah. Beginning of Shemitah, you start counting year two. So therefore, this is a halacha that applies right now. Anybody you want, by the way, you can even plant it today. You don't have to wait for the 15th of Av. You can do it today. And Kol HaKodem is better off. Now there are going to be periods of time for anything else. Most anything else that we're going to plant in a private garden can be planted many up until Rosh Hashanah itself, Erev Rosh Hashanah. There are certain plants that require 3 days before Rosh Hashanah, and there are some plants that require 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah. I can't go into all the details now, but in Yetzer Hashem we're still going to have a month before Rosh Hashanah comes. So the Rambam, read the Rambam again. Even nowadays, ain't no tin ilonos, you don't plant saplings, trees, Elo, if it's Erev Shemitah, we are right now in Erev Shemitah. Elo Kadesha Tiklo Tanitia, the sapling should be absorbed into the ground, klita, v'tishher akanak klita, shloshim yom kodem Rosh Hashanah shesvius, and it should be able to remain that way in the ground for a period of 30 days before the onset of Shemitah. Ustam klita shtei shabbosos, 2 weeks is the normal amount of time for a tree to take root. V'dovah zeh, also le'olam, this is always prohibited. You know why the Rambam is saying this? Because what preceded over here, by the way, this Yud Aleph over here in the Rambam does not follow Yud. This Yud Aleph is from the end of chapter 2 in the Rambam. I don't want you to get confused. And there the Rambam had been talking about during the period of the Beit HaMikdash, work in certain areas had to stop Pesach time in the fields. It had to stop Pesach before Shemitah. And in the orchards, it had to stop at Shavuos. And the Gemara says that all of this was true at the time of the Beit HaMikdash. Following the destruction of Beit HaMikdash, everything goes back to what it originally was, that Shemitah begins with Rosh Hashanah. However, that's why the Rambam said, even nowadays, when it's not in the time of the Beit HaMikdash, and all of the early preparations for Shemitah no longer apply, but there are certain basic things that must apply. Fruit-bearing trees, it's really 44 days. 30 plus 2 weeks, 32 weeks is 14 days, 30 and 14 is 44. 44 days before Shemitah. The double zeh also le'olam. This is what I told you. This is always prohibited. Mipnei maris ha'ayin, because what people will see, shema yomer haroeh, lest the person who sees it say, b'shvius nato, that he planted this fruit bearing tree in shvius. Nimses oma. So therefore, now watch. It goes even further. Noteya u'mabrich u'makiv erev shvius kodem Rosh Hashanah barboim yom. If he planted or did any of these works 44 days before Yekayin, he's permitted to keep it. Pachot Mikayin, If you planted a tree on the 17th, the 18th of Av, you know what you're going to have to do before Rosh Hashanah? Uproot it. The halach is you have to uproot it. You can't permit it. Vimlo atar, if you didn't uproot it, and there will be fruit, haperos mutarim. The fruit is mutar. Vimeis kodim shiyakor, if the person died before he was able to uproot it, mechayvin et hayode shlakor, the one who inherits it has to uproot it. Okay. So we've given a number of rules of thumb. I want to go now. We're going in general order. We're up to page 3, right? Says at the top, general guidelines and summary. And on the we're going to get some of them in. And I say that these pages were taken from a booklet that was written by Rabbi Eliezer Simcha Weiss of Kfar HaRoeh, and 7 years ago he said a shir on Shemitah here. General guidelines and summary. A general but important guideline states that all gardening activities prohibited by rabbinical authorities yet permitted for survival of the tree or plant are deemed necessary and therefore permitted only upon the professional opinion of a suitable authority who is also a God-fearing person. So what he has established over here is if what you're going to do is to maintain it, you are permitted to do it. But wait a minute, you may not know if this is li'ukmei ulana or not. Now, we're going to come to if you're going to have your gardener, so one of the things that also has to be done during Shemitah is not to water as much as one waters the garden during the course of the year. You either diminish a bit the amount of water or the amount of time, and also extend a bit the time between one watering and the next. I have a feeling that's, in general, that's good principle because I don't know why, but I have this feeling, maybe it's me and I'm projecting all this onto you. We overwater. Sometimes we overwater. You need your professional gardener to tell you how much water is necessary to be able to maintain it, to retain it, to make sure that there won't be loss. Any gardening activity which can be performed in advance of the Shemitah, we said this already. Anything that can be done in advance, that's now, you have enough time, so as not to depend on special exemptions during Shemitah, it is preferable to delay gardening activities from the Shemitah year until after the new year of the eighth year. In other words, if there's anything new you want to do, all of a sudden you decide, to plant something. So during the Shemitah year, of course, you cannot plant, and that's going to have to wait until the eighth year. Gardening activities forbidden to a landowner are also forbidden to his laborer or employee. Likewise, any activity committed to a landowner may be performed by his employee. In other words, I can't have a Shabbos by my gardener, you understand? I'm not allowed to the gardener. Let him do what I want. Doesn't work. I just want to raise another issue that has to be, there's so many issues, but if you live in an apartment house and there are religious and non-religious people, this becomes an issue before Shemitah. You pay vad by it. Now what happens if the people in the building want the gardener to go about his normal activities during the course of the Shemitah year, and you're paying vad by it for these Yisurim to be done on land that you are a partial owner? I mean, you have a responsibility. You can't let that.
It's different if the gardener is Jewish or not Jewish.
Yes. It makes no difference. In my good question that you asked, it makes no difference. In my land, I can't have anybody work. Because as the Rambam, the very opening of the Rambam, which I didn't point out at the time, was first, what was the first halacha? Here it is. Mitzvah saseh lishvot mehavodat haaretz vavodat ha'ilam. The land has to be at rest. Not only is there halacha that I shouldn't do work in the field, I have to make sure that the land should be at rest. And it's similar in this respect, it's similar to the halacha of Shabbos. Not only am I not permitted to work with my animal on Shabbos, I cannot have a goy work with my animal. I can't have anybody do work in my land in Shemitah. So what do you do if you live in a in an apartment house? And of course, the first thing is you have a calm Vav Bayit meeting, and somebody gets up and explains the beauty of Shemitah and all the rest. So chances are, maybe you'll succeed. If you succeed, then it's okay. If you don't succeed, and you know, you come up against a number of fellows who are simply opposed to all of this religious stuff, so you have a number of options, and I'm only going to throw them out now, but I'm not telling you what to do. You'll ask your local Orthodox rabbi. There is one possibility. One possibility is that in the presence of three people, I relinquish my right to my piece of land. I'm saying I don't own anything in the garden. Once I don't own anything in the garden, whatever happens there doesn't make any difference. By the way, Rav Shlomo Zalman says one thing you can't do. Rav Shlomo Zalman said you can't say, I'm not paying Vav Bayit. Take me to court, I'm not paying Vav Bayit. No, Vav Bayit is something that everybody has an obligation to pay. And it doesn't necessarily mean that your money is going to the gardener who's doing all of those averas. There is one opinion, but I find a great deal of difficulty with that. And that was also something that Rabbi Adler touched upon. We don't use the Heta Mechira for private gardens. The Heta Mechira was all only to maintain the agriculture of this land. Not my chrysanthemums, you understand? That's not what the Heta Mechira is for. By the way, it's not simply the Rabbanut HaRashit now. The first time it appears is in a letter that Rav Kook wrote in the Igros, the letters of Rav Kook. Rav Kook made it clear when he outlined the Heta Mechira, it's not for private gardens. You can't do that. But there is an opinion that says that when you're stuck with this, you can go ahead and sell your piece of land. Difficult. I would not suggest that. What I do suggest is, you pay your Vav Bayit. Either you can be masker, and that's all. There's nothing else that you, nothing else you can do. All right. Forever. I was waiting for somebody to ask that question. There's no such thing as, even though you can say the Mechira, by the way, the Heta Mechira is for 2 years, they sell the land. There are not a lot of other halachas, and I think we're certainly going to have to continue when we get back. A lot of other halachas, you're going to have to know, but you see, there are many of them that we can, don't have to be learned right before Shemitah. In advance of Shemitah, for example, there will be fruit on the market that is going to have the sanctity of Shemitah. If it has Kedushat Shviyat, it has to be treated in a completely different way than, you know, a Shemitah apple. You have to be careful not to waste it, not to use it in a way it's not normally used. You can't put a Shemitah apple on a Simchas Torah flag with a candle on top of it. It has kedusha, it has sanctity. By the way, the Ramban says it's a mitzvah to eat the fruit of Eretz Yisrael that has the sanctity of Shviyas. There are those who are just terrified of the idea of, gosh, God, I don't want to touch that. No, you have to know the way it's purchased is different. So I say I'm frustrating you now, but I'm just promising you that in Yiras Hashem we will carry on. Let me just see. I do so much. All right, you know what? I'll number one, Lee Nader, for the next time, I will make many, many more copies of this so that I can leave everybody with a copy. Wait a minute, there's another thing. I'm going to leave copies of all of Shir HaShirim to anybody who wants Shir HaShirim with the English. Now we're going to take a few minutes of questions. Go ahead.
My question is, I know that you're allowed to eat the
house. You're allowed to?
You're allowed to eat the produce of Shmita.
Yes.
And that it has kedushat Shmita.
Yes.
That being the case, why does it say you're not allowed to harvest?
The woman has just asked the Gemara's question.
Repeat the question.
See, I will repeat this question. Allah! She says, I said that it's a mitzvah to eat the fruit of the Shmita. Well, we just learned the pasuk that says that you're not allowed to harvest. How do you eat without harvesting? So the Gemara asked the question. This is from the Torah's Kahanim asked the question and says that you're not allowed to harvest lo yivitzar, you're not allowed to harvest kederech habotzvin, the way in which it's normally done in other years. In other words, when you harvest a whole orchard and you use all sorts of special implements for it, but you know how you harvest it? You harvest in Shemitah little by little, little by little. Excellent. Go ahead.
Are you allowed to buy a plant or have a plant in your home that you may later transplant into the garden after Shemitah?
Absolutely. Can you have a plant in your house in a flower pot that you will plant after Shemitah in the garden? Absolutely.
Are you allowed to buy plants during the Shemitah?
Are you allowed to buy plants during the Shemitah? Here you're going to have to buy plants from places where you know that it was done properly. Now what's the pshat done properly? If they went ahead and they just planted all sorts of saplings, you know, that was usher. You don't want to bring that into your house. But remember, I told you one law. This is a very important law. It comes from the Yerushalmi. It says that you're not allowed to work the sadeh, the field, and then there has to be shmitah in the oretz. Now the oretz represents the whole land, which would include anything that's planted in a house too, because the house is also part of Eretz Yisrael. But it says soda, which means outdoors. So the Yerushalmi asks, what about something that's planted indoors? The Yerushalmi does not arrive at a conclusion. So the post can say that since Shemitah today is not min haTorah, it's midrabbanan, since it's rabbinic, so therefore indoors you can plant. Indoors you can plant. Yes?
When you're harvesting the fruit from your own garden.
Yes.
And you're taking trumas and mice.
You don't. Because in Shemitah, everything is hefker. By the way, if I want to come in and you'll tell me exactly where you live, if I want to come in and have some of the fruits, you can't stop me. So the halacha is that in Shemitah you don't have to give Tumah Umasa. And this is a famous Gemara where the Gemara says, Ubo HaLevi, the lady shall come and take Maaseh, Ki Ein Lo Chelek V'Nachala Imach, because he has no share with you. He has no share with you in everything except in Shemitah, where everybody, all are equal. It's too much. Yes?
I have flowers growing in front of that tree. He can't come in and trample my flowers to take the fruit off the tree.
No? I hold that you're right. He can't trample them. By the way, there's another reason why not to trample it.
The farmers don't protect themselves as well.
Because we should know there's, with regard to flowers, by the way, there are flowers with fragrance and flowers that don't have fragrance. Flowers that have fragrance have kedushat shvi'it, the sanctity of shvi'it, just like fruit has. And that's why in the gardening instructions there's a great deal about how to protect roses during the course of Shemitah, because we're talking about something that has that has Kedushat Shevi'ah, but your other plants, but he has no right to do it. Not that, has nothing to do with Shemitah. It has to do with causing damage. Causing damage to a flower that grows on Veg-wood. You can't do that. Go ahead.
Do you think if I buy it, you pay the gardener the full salary during Shemitah?
You what?
If I buy it, pay the gardener his full salary during Shemitah?
The question was, does the Vav Bayit have to pay the gardener full salary during Shemitah? By the way, your house in Har Nof has a gardener? I know we have a gardener for our roof garden. I didn't think gardeners existed in Har Nof. Yeah, you have a gardener? I don't know, that's already a Shaila, not in... Huh? Well, he has a great deal of maintenance work to do. And we said, sometimes the maintenance work, and maybe his expertise in what's considered maintenance and what's not considered maintenance, may be worth his salary in gold. I love this. Go ahead. I'll get to the back over there right away.
Somebody coming in and taking off the fruit of the tree.
Yes.
Like if he's not allowed to go into the gate of your garden.
You're not supposed to have a gate that's locked on your garden.
Oh, I see, that's what it is.
Except if you have a roof garden, I'm not going to say, but I don't have any fruit on my roof garden.
But can he really walk into my garden?
That's the way it's supposed to be. But it doesn't have to be that way until the fruit is finally... By the way, that's also... you have to understand, there's another thing. There's many halachas. You can't chop down a cherry tree. Even though... Wait a minute. If the cherries have not yet begun to grow, even if there's blossoming, and the tree is worth more for its value as wood, because you're not allowed to cut down a fruit-bearing tree anytime. It has nothing to do with Shemitah. You can never cut down a fruit-bearing tree. Except, of course, if the tree has greater value for its wood than for its fruit. Then you can cut it down 6 years anytime you want, even when it's laden with fruit. But the moment in Shemitah, once the fruit starts growing, if you're going to cut it down, then it's going to be a hefsek. You're going to ruin the fruit. You're not allowed to ruin it. It says in the Torah, "V'haytash Shabbat ha'aretz lachem, it shall be for you la'ochlo, to eat, v'lo lehefsek, not to cause it any damage." So you can't cut it down. By the way, that also brings us to the halacha that anything that has kedusha shi'is can only be eaten in the way in which it is normally eaten. All right, I still have another few minutes. Go ahead. We're going to the back now. Yes?
Anything that you said pertaining to the garden, does that pertain to the not fragrant flowers on my window boxes on my fifth floor balcony?
Does it apply to your window boxes? What side of the window? Outside, that's like the land of Shemitah. Everything I said, you have to be very careful what you do over there. Ken.
Could you, in the next session,
I don't need a whole shear on that, but yes, we'll lean either. You know, I'm not making any promises, you know. Chris, what do you want?
What about canned stuff that has no dates on it? When in doubt, leave it out.
We're going to have to leave those issues until the beginning of the year, once we see what is available out in the market. Yes? I can't hear. Yes? You mean in Yehuda v'Shomron, in Holy Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Avot, yes? Yes.
So, can you also just, if Rosh Hashanah is just finishing Orla on all the things that have been grown?
growing. Number one, can he use those things during treatment? And can he
within the within the context of this year and this audience, I'm not even going to begin to deal with that. If it's not Orla, it's going to be Revai. He has to know how you are Poda Revai. He needs his local Orthodox rabbi. I'm going away for 2 months to Chutz Lawrence. Or three. I don't know. I'm sorry, everybody. I feel very bad. Again, thank you all for coming. We will notify you through Torah tidbits when there will be a Kermesh here on Shemitah. I have to go.